Shalom, mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the mishpacha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I've been talking this week with Bill Johnson, senior leader from Bethel Church. And just before we went on the air, I said, you know, Bill, what you're talking about was a book was written by a monk a long time ago. I don't recall how long ago. His name was Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. But something bothered me about the book, Bill. Well, it provoked me to jealousy. I mean, he's a dishwasher, and people of high places in authority want to hang around him as a dishwasher. He knew how to practice the presence of God. But you know what? When I read the book, I didn't know how to implement what he was doing. I wanted to, but I didn't know how. You've learned how. Can you teach a little bit about, you call it hosting the presence of God?
Sure. Sure. I think most of what I've learned out of the worship experience, just turning my affection towards the Lord, ministering to him, not just giving thanksgiving praise, not just being involved in the musical expression, but actually attending to him. And in that encounter, you start discovering, I don't know, I don't have better language than this, forgive me, but you start encountering like the flavors, the nature, the attitude, the heart, the mood of the Holy Spirit. And the more you become aware of those things, the more you become impacted by how you think, how you live, how you view a problem, how you just navigate through life. And so for me, what I have found is the biggest thing to ignite this lesson in me is turning my affection towards the Holy Spirit. I even do this like when I go to bed at night. When I lay down to go to sleep, I'm not there to pray. I'm not there to sing worship songs. I'm there to go to sleep. But I turn the affection of my heart towards the Holy Spirit, and he is such a lover of people that he immediately begins to manifest.
But that would be a problem for me, because if he manifested, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Well, that's true and not true. If he manifests, you know, like I talked a few days ago about the electrical encounter.
I'll take that too, but go ahead.
It's true, but there, when he comes in deep affection and rest, you sleep as a result of the encounter. And I think people would have better days if they had better nights. And the day begins at night. And when we commit our night to the Lord, and we literally go to sleep with that embrace, my affection for God and his affection for me, it sets me up to have deep, profound rest. So that's really where it starts for me. If I wake up in the night, once again, I'll turn my affection towards the Lord, not to pray, not to dialogue, not to sing, but just to encounter. And in that encounter, drift off to sleep.
I guess what I'm going to do tonight, Bill. You sparked something in me there. Out of curiosity, are you one of these people that gets prophetic dreams?
I do, yeah, I do. I don't, not every night, certainly, but, you know, fairly often I'll get a prophetic dream of some sort.
Well, that's a good way. I think that's a good start for a prophetic dream, is to go to sleep feeling the presence of God, of inviting his presence. Is that what? Tell me the words you say, not out loud, but you're saying in your heart to God when you're going to sleep.
Oh, it's simple. I just tell him I love him. That's all. My heart is just overflowing with love for God, and I'm being bathed by his love. The only words I can muster up is that I love you. And that's, you know, that's the relationship. It's real simple, but it is, you know, it is effective. It affects me. It changes me. It changes how I think and live. You know, I started practicing. I don't know how else to learn and to practice. I started practicing this years ago. I would go into a particular business. It was a health food store, but it was the kind that was kind of cultic at the same time. And but I loved the people in there, and I would do business there, so I'd stop outside.
You know something? I hate to say this, but sometimes I find more love from these New Agers than many Christians I know. It's an awful statement.
That certainly can be true. I would stop outside the store and literally stand there for a moment till I became aware of the Holy Spirit resting on me. Then I would go in and do my business. I'd go buy whatever I was going to buy. Nothing would change in my actions, but I just became aware of him. And one day the owner took me aside. He said, Bill, something's different when you walk in. And it wasn't that I had a greater measure of the presence than another believer, but I might have been the only one that turned my affection towards him before I chose to do business in that store. And that's why I say being aware of the Holy Spirit really affects the atmosphere around us.
Well, you talk about you live with total awareness of an open heaven. Most people say, oh, God, give us an open heaven like Jacob had with the angels going up on this ladder and coming down. And but your paradigm's much bigger than that. Explain.
When the Holy Spirit was released upon Jesus in Mark chapter 1 at his water baptism, it says the heavens parted. The word there is the same word used to describe the tearing of the veil in the temple and the breaking of the rocks around Jerusalem. In other words, it was a violent act. So when the Holy Spirit was released upon Jesus, it was because the heavens were ripped open. Well, that is the prayer of Isaiah in 64 verse 2. Rend the heavens, Lord, and come down. And so the Holy Spirit being released upon the church came because the heavens were torn open. And what Christians tend to do is we tend to become aware of the darkness around us, and we personalize it instead of living from the open heaven that exists over us towards the problems around us. And we've got to reverse what we're aware of. Instead of being so sin-conscious and evil-conscious, become aware of the presence of God upon us, the open heaven that every believer has, and live from that because it gives us the courage to serve well.
You also talk about different measures and dimensions of his presence, and you talk about Isaiah 6:1 about his robe filling the temple. Explain.
Right. The word there says, I see the Lord, he is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. That word fills means that it filled it, but it's continuously filling. In other words, he's here, but there's more of him coming. And I think the Lord would like to manifest himself upon us bigger than we have a grid for. You know, he really intentionally wants to manifest presence and glory to the degree that we can handle it and not take credit for it. Not trying to manipulate or to use the glory for our personal gain or our notoriety or whatever. And he entrusts himself to us, interestingly. And so there are degrees and mentions, measures of the presence. And I think it's just, like most things in the kingdom, you get increased by stewarding what you have well.
Do you believe there's a greater, much greater increase for you than you have right now, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But most of the people listening to us right now would like to have what you have.
Well, if they don't have it, I would want for them to have it. But I also, I've also read history and read the scripture, and I see where there's standards of encounter and lifestyle that's so far greater than what I've ever experienced or had. And so I'm...
Well, have you dreamt or had an inward thought of what is going to be happening to you in the near future as far as the miraculous?
Well, I think I certainly have. I think here's what my heart is after, is for the glory of the Lord to fill the earth. I want the glory of God, the manifested presence of Jesus, that wonderful Spirit of Christ, to rest upon the land, upon the churches, the place where we meet. We've already had people encounter God just driving onto the property or walking into a building. We had a gal here in Cleveland. She had 35 epileptic seizures, up to 35 a day. And when she walked into the building, she was completely healed and set free from this that she had had since she was a few months old. She's a model in New York, 19 years old, and she walks into the building and it leaves. I feel like there's this presence of God that becomes so manifest that no disease, no affliction can stand in it. In some occasions, he allows us to do the ministry. Other occasions, it's just the presence of God. We've had so many situations where people are just in the atmosphere of presence, and they're just completely changed.
Well, give me an example of where you have tangibly observed the presence of God changing, not in your church building, but where you were.
Well, it happens. Goodness, I was shopping for a cell phone in a store once, and just looking at the phone, a lady behind me just falls to the ground. She's laid out on the ground. It wasn't a seizure. It wasn't anything. It was just the presence of the Lord that was resting upon me was so strong that she just literally fell to the ground. And the salesman stood there dumbfounded. I stood there dumbfounded. It took me a moment to realize what was happening. I've seen joy break out spontaneously in a gas station, just from this presence of God. And I feel like he wants to affect the surroundings sometimes in those kinds of ways. Sometimes it's just he just brings comfort to people that are so broken. Sometimes there's the release of a miracle. We've seen people healed by just the shadow, just walking past them. The affliction leaves their body. I feel like there's so much more that God wants to make the norm that has become an occasional experience.
Bill, on tomorrow's broadcast, I want you to pray, because I've seen what happens when you pray for people relying on the presence of God and the knowledge of conditions for people to be healed. But more important than what's going to happen tomorrow, I want you to learn how to host the presence of God. Bill has put together an entire course. You can take it by yourself. You can take it in a group. It's a book. It's a workbook. It's two DVDs with 8 sessions. If you were to buy these items separately, it would cost you $99. We're making it available for a gift of $59. It's time for you to be normal. Normal is defined by the Bible. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.